What's up, Fantasy Docs Nation? This is Dr. Notwa here. I'm going over some tight ends with you today. We're going to be talking about three of the top six tight ends and then a couple sleepers that I think are going to play really well this year as long as they stay healthy. The first one that we're going to talk about is Evan Ingram, and a lot of people have been asking questions about him because the wide receiver core for the Giants is disseminated, to say the least. So we have Golden Tate suspended for four games. We got Sterling Shepard with a broken thumb. I did a post on him if you want to check out the Instagram account. They traded Odell, and they have a new quarterback under center, or they have Eli Manning under center. That's not really been decided either. So that's all a lot of question marks, and that makes me a little bit nervous about Ingram. But I still think he is going to finish in that top 5-6 range. And the reason because that is he finished top five. And the reason because it is because Odell Beckham had injury that year. Brandon Marshall had injury that year. And that's kind of a similar situation to what's happening now. Going over his injury analysis, he had an injured MCL last year, which, like I've said before, those usually recover pretty well. He had a hamstring strain that cost him two games as well, too. And as you know, I've said before, hamstring strains are a concern for re-aggravation within the same season, but the risk goes exponentially down if we talk about going across separate seasons. So we look at a couple different things here. We look at his targets. That's going to be astronomical. We look at people that are competing for targets against him. He's got no one. We look at his QB situation. Questionable. We look at his injury history. I don't have any concerns. So really here, we're just basing it off of how his QB is going to go. And with everything else looking good, even with a bad QB, the volume is going to be there, and I think he's a pretty safe floor. Next on my list is someone I'm really high about, and that's OJ Howard. Now, his injury history is actually something that's a little bit concerning to me because his last two seasons have both ended with a high ankle sprain, and that increases my concern for a re-aggravation of that. When these ankle sprains in the same leg happen over separate seasons, there becomes an increased risk that that might recur over another season as well, too. But that risk is low, and there's some other reasons why I am very high on him. So Tampa Bay has been one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the NFL the past couple years, and I don't imagine that's going to change because who do they have in their running field? They have Peyton Barber, yeah, okay, Ronald Jones, right. Yeah, I'm not getting fooled by those two guys again this season. Something else that's really good about OJ Howard is that he's actually ranked in the top two in his position and average depth of target. He's had basically 11.5 yards per target, and then he scored more PPR points per target than anyone else over the past two seasons in that tight end position. Combine that with Jackson and Humphreys no longer being on the roster, and that opens up even more possible targets for Howard. I just picked him up late in that fifth round in the Krispy Kreme's Fantasy Football Experts League. You can follow us on Instagram, and I'm having no regrets. I think I got great value, and I did it after picking up two solid stud running backs and two stud receivers, and I just wanted to take an even-keeled approach and grab a top five tight end who possibly can hit that top one spot. Next on my list is Hunter Henry. And guys, I just want to tell you that Hunter Henry, OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, they're all basically neck and neck in my eyes. The only reason I might go with OJ Howard over Hunter Henry is although I'm optimistic about Henry, his injury was more severe than Howard's, and that's basically the breaking point between me ranking OJ Howard a little bit ahead of Henry. So if you've heard my podcast, you've seen my posts, I usually hate targeting players that are only a year away from an ACL. But the difference is that Hunter Henry, even at the end of last season, so less than a full season removed from his ACL injury, was declared active and actually was in a game at the end of the season. And to me, that says that he is one of the outliers in terms of his recovery for ACL injuries. It seems like they felt like he was ready to play. I believe that early return allowed him to utilize this offseason as the time period to reacclimate. Most players need to use the following season, i.e. this season, to do that reacclimatization period. Another reason is his age. So he's only 24, and studies show that there's significantly improved return to play performance in players under 25, and not as great performance in players over 27. So something that reinforces this point for me is that in OTAs and in the preseason practices, they've had multiple impressive catches noted by Hunter Henry. And this kind of flows into one of my last reasons, and that's Hunter Henry is an elite talent. He won that Mackey Award in college for the best tight end in all of college football, and he was drafted right outside the first round, which is a very high position to take a tight end. And yes, that is me judging the Detroit Lions for once again taking a tight end in the top 10. To compound that reasoning, the tight end is a notoriously hard position to acclimate to in the NFL, but Hunter Henry had no issues, scoring 8 touchdowns on 478 yards his rookie season. Guys, take a look at this comparison. I mean, Zach Ertz saw 156 targets in 2018, and he finished with about 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Hunter Henry, he's seen 150 targets in his career, and he's pulled them in for 87 receptions for 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. Definitely consider picking this guy up anywhere in the 6th round. If he's available anywhere after the 6th and you're not taking him, don't even talk to me anymore. Tyler Eifert had a breakout season in 2015, and that seems like a really long time ago. And since then, over the past 3 seasons, he's played only 14 games. And you know, sometimes that's not a big deal and a player can recover from that and they would be someone I would target in fantasy football. But even with Tyler Eifert going undrafted currently, I'm still not targeting him. The reason is he's had multiple back surgeries. That's a terrible indication for lingering chronic back pain. He had a high ankle fracture last season. Usually that's possible to recover from as well too. But the season afterwards, I'm guessing there's going to be some stability issues. Ankle strength's probably not going to be too great. And then aside from that, he's had concussions. He's had knee strains. Labral tears, some of those involving surgery, some of those not involving surgery. And all of that put together, you know, if he's going undrafted, I might be like, hey, okay, let me still take a flyer on him. He did have that season in 2015. But now you have Joe Mixon in that backfield breaking out. You have Tyler Boyd en route to breaking out. You have AJ Green, who, you know, when he's on the field is a huge threat, and hopefully he'll be out there sooner rather than later. So I guess there's some remaining targets, I guess, but that's going to be split between Eifert, assuming he stays healthy, John Ross, and, you know, a plethora of other Bengals bench players. So, I mean, I don't think Tyler Eifert's worth holding on your bench for some anticipated breakout season when everything has been shown to the contrary over the past 3 seasons. And I think there's plenty of other great tight end options you can target that are going to be coming up next. So we just talked about a tight end who had a high ankle sprain dislocation that I'm not targeting. Now let's get on to one that I am targeting, and that guy's Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker, he dislocated his ankle in the first week of last season, and then he had a surgery for an associated fracture. In OTAs, there was reports that he was running drills smoothly. He was ended up not starting the season on PUP, which is a great outlook. And I think that he's someone that you can pick up in the later rounds, possibly even undrafted in some leagues. So Delanie Walker, unlike Eifert, has been relatively healthy his entire career. And this guy is a warrior. Like, when he's able to play, he's out there. Ankle dislocations usually heal within about 2 to 4 months, with rehab taking about 1 to 3 months following that. He's well outside this window. And, you know, he feels like he's back at 85% to 90%. And that was about a month ago, which means that I would imagine he'd be around 100% by the start of the season. Despite his age, you know, he's been a true Iron Man. He's had extremely high floor production. He's passed 800 yards the past 4 seasons before his injuries, and it's a negligible risk to pick him up. Like I said, if it's between Eifert and Delanie Walker, I'm going Delanie Walker every time. Greg Olsen is the last tight end that we're going to go over today, and he's someone that I'm also okay with picking up post-draft and someone I'd rather have over Tyler Eifert as well. So he had a plantar fasciitis rupture last season, and that plantar fascia, sometimes it gets inflamed and irritated. You've probably heard about that diagnosis before. It's a lot of foot pain, a lot when you're waking up. And actually, there's a bunch of conservative treatments for it. But the definitive treatment for plantar fasciitis is a surgical rupture of that tendon. So basically what happened to Olsen as an injury is actually the curative treatment. So I'm not really concerned about his recovery from this. He is a little bit on the older side for an NFL player, and you know he's approaching the twilight of his career, but along with Cam having a lot of those shoulder issues last season, I'd imagine he'd be checking down a lot more, and that'll provide additional value for Christian McCaffrey, which, once again, he doesn't need any more additional value, Greg Olsen, and then also Ian Thomas showed a little bit of promise as well last season, pulling in about 200 yards, so, you know, maybe he's on his way to a breakout too, but I don't think that he's going to take over the spot from Greg Olsen. He's got an established rapport with Cam Newton, and, you know, he's a good low-value pickup post-draft. All right, guys, that's all I have for you today with the Fantasy Docs episode on tight ends. I'm going to have all the timestamps, so you can look up those later on if you want to reference back to them. I hope you guys appreciate that I try and keep these podcasts short and sweet and just chock full of information. If you guys have any questions, you can always DM me once again. Fantasy Docs is my primary Instagram account. That's where most of the up-to-date posts will happen. Look forward in the season because every week, right before that waiver wire hits, I'm going to be going over the previous week's injuries. I'm going to be telling you who to pick up, who to drop, who's some good fool's gold that you convince your opponent to make a terrible trade with you with, and more. So keep in tune, keep in touch. Please give me some feedback, and thank you again for listening.